Right now, though, it's time for sports. So let's bring in Mike Causey. Good morning, Mr. Causey.
Good morning.
You didn't go back to sleep this morning, right?
What's that?
You didn't go back to sleep this morning.
No.
I did this morning. My alarm went off. I get up at like 3:15 each morning, and I decided to shut my eyes for a few minutes. And next, thank God, I opened up, and it was 4 o'clock. Thank God. Because there'd be no one to come in here. All right. So now, yesterday in sports, an ass thumping for the Yankees. Tanaka, I didn't watch the game. But Tanaka, I think, gave up 12 runs in 4 innings.
His ERA in the first 2 innings, the last time he pitched against the Red Sox, is 73.125.
So the game was over in obviously in 2 innings, but anyway,
it was over in 1 inning.
Yeah, it was just a massacre of Mr. Tanaka. But now, so the Red Sox scored 19 runs, okay, against the Yankees. Minnesota scored 10 against the White Sox. Baltimore 10 against the Angels.
It took Baltimore 16 innings to score those 10.
Texas 11 against Oakland. Seattle 10 against Detroit, but the Yankees win the football score of the day, 19-3.
Yep, and DeGrom pitched another good game yesterday. He got 4 runs of support, and the Mets shut out San Diego 4-0.
Now tell me, why are the Mets really thinking about getting rid of Syndergaard?
They need to.
They do? Okay.
They're close. The Mets are close to being competitive.
They are. They've got some kids that can hit and some fields.
If they make the right move, they can become competitive even quicker. And a pitcher's expendable. And the one that's expendable that can get them the most return and not hurt them is Syndergaard. So, for example, like I don't know if I said it on here already, I said that the Mets can make a trade with the Yankees, which they're talking about.
They'll never do it, never.
Well, they can.
I know, but they'll never.
And Syndergaard is a top pitcher.
Yep.
Is he not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when you trade a top pitcher, you're expecting a player that can step into your lineup right away and produce with the trade, correct?
Yep, and that would be Clint Frazier.
So if the Mets can trade, if they make a trade with the Yankees, they get Frazier, who's in exile, right?
Yep.
And they can get a minor league pitcher named Abreu, okay? And you get Gleyber Torres. Soon as you say Gleyber Torres, the Yankees, oh, no, you can't do that. You want Noah Syndergaard. You want one of the best pitchers in the National League. What do you want him for? A bucket of pineapples? If you're going to make a move, you're going to have to give something up.
Mets.
And that move works for the Yankees because they got LeMahieu who could play for Torres. They don't miss anything. And you're getting themselves a pitcher. And the team needs a pitcher because their last 5 starters, you got to go back, I think, to 1920 before this happened with the Yankees before. The last 5 starters gave up 6-plus runs in their last 5 starts.
But here's the
terrible.
Here's the problem, and I knew somebody who was the chief financial officer for the Mets. Okay, he was there when with the previous owners and these owners. The Mets will not even think about talking to the Yankees. Now, unless this crazy new guy they got in there can break the rule, but I don't see that happening. I
would do it. You know why? Because if you get a trade to that caliber that I just mentioned, it helps both teams. The Mets get rid of a top line starter, but they get themselves an outfielder, a third baseman, and a pitcher for the future. That's a plus for the Mets. The Yankees give them up, which they can afford to give up. They get themselves arguably the best pitcher on their team.
It's a
win-win situation for both guys. But, yes, Syndergaard's on the block. The Yankees are being named, but they can't trade Syndergaard for the Yankees for at least one player that's starting for the Yankees that can step right into their lineup. And it's not Brett Gardner, folks.
No.
Torres is the guy because you have LeMahieu. That's it. That's the trade to make, or else the Yankees won't get him.
All right. What about racing today?
What about racing yesterday?
Oh, how'd you win?
Saratoga canceled.
Oh, canceled?
They got hit with a big storm, and adios Saratoga.
All right. Well, what about today?
Well, today we'll see what happens. Ninth race today, my pick of the day is going to be in the Curling. It's the ninth race supposed to go off at 10 to 6, mile and an eighth on the turf. This is for late blooming three-year-olds. My pick of the day is going to be the one horse, Intrepid Heart. This horse broke his maiden first time out by seven, came out after that, ran in a very tough optional 75,000 claimer, Keeneland, and then from there jumped into the Peter Pan and the Belmont and didn't get disgraced to Nietzsche. Gets the rail today. Johnny Velasquez stays with the horse, 7-2 morning line. Play of the day today is in the ninth at Saratoga, the one horse, Intrepid Heart. Races for the weekend, going to Saratoga tomorrow, of course. The ninth race is the grade one Vanderbilt, going 6 furlongs on the dirt. You're going to have an overwhelming favorite in here on the rail with Mitoli. Even money morning line. This horse won the Met Mile last time out at Belmont on Belmont Day. This horse needs to be pushed to have for another horse to have a chance, and the horse right next to it's going to be the pusher. The two Strike Power has some early speed as well. So in expecting a speed duel there, and this is Saratoga, I think this is going to soften up Mitoli enough where the four Forenzi Fire can make a run. Forenzi Fire like Saratoga with a win in the third with two starts over it, and I like 9-2 a lot better than even money. So in the Vanderbilt, my pick's going to be the 4 Forenzi Fire. A horse to watch coming back in here is the 3 Imperial Hint. Did not run very well late last year. Shipped to Dubai, ran third, hasn't been seen since March. Training down at Monmouth, throwing up some bullet works, but caveat emptor. I'm not touching Imperial Hint in this race. I'm going with the 4 Forenzi Fire. Next race is the Grade 2 Bowling Green, a mile and 3/8 on the turf. On the inner turf, this is a 3-mile, mile and 3/8 race, not like the races at Belmont. Looking into this race, there's absolutely, positively no speed in this race. None. Maybe the 3-horse trained by Chad Brown, who has never run in this country, coming from Chile, has some speed. Don't know. Has some nice works up at Saratoga. I'm going to throw Ya Primo, which is the name of the horse, in my exacta. I'm going to go with the 5, Channel Marker. Has some speed, ran fourth to Bricks and Mortar on Belmont Day in the Manhattan. This race has no speed except for a 30-1 shot, and that horse has taken a big rise in class jumping into this grade 2. So Channel Marker is going to be my top pick in the Bowling Green with the 3 Ya Primo, and that brings us to the big race of the weekend, if you want to think it is. I think the other two are pretty good. The Jim Dandy, grade 2 for 3-year-olds on the dirt. Only draws 6 horses in here. These 3-year-olds just keep taking turns, beating each other everywhere. Tacticus is going to be the big favorite. They're going to talk about his Belmont running second in that race. I'm not going to use the horse. The 4 Global Campaign, who won the Peter Pan impressively and skipped the Belmont for this race for Stanley Huff, is going to be part of my exacta. But my win's going to be on the 2-horse, Tax. Tax ran into Belmont, set the pace. This race, except for the 4-horse, is a paceless race. This horse can get out at Saratoga, and the track can carry him around. 8-1 is a very good price. Never ran at Saratoga. Coming in off a bullet work of 47 flat, going 4 furlongs. It was the best work of 71 horses that day. Tax is going to get my money, as it always does. So the 11th race, Jim Dandy, Tax is my top pick, and the 4 Global Campaign is going to round out my exacta. I don't think it's going to rain at Saratoga, but then again, they didn't think it was going to rain there yesterday.
All right, well, we'll have to see what happens. But those are the picks.
It really poured. Right.
Well, that's the type of rain we've been getting here. It doesn't rain for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, over 3 or 4 days, you get downpours each day where it runs off and stuff, and it's like Florida weather. You know, I always got used to in Florida. You could be out in Florida, and all of a sudden, it's just pouring, monsoon for 35, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. It stops 40 minutes later, everything's drained off, and it's like it never rained.
But yesterday, it looked like the cell just sat right over the racetrack.
All right.
So the Yankees play the Red Sox again tonight, and they're looking for that the stopper in James Paxton. Good luck with that one. Right. Bet the over, folks.
I think whenever the Red Sox and Yankees play at Fenway, bet the over. Fenway and in England.
This is a key series for the Red Sox. The Yankees pitching staff's in shambles. They've been giving up runs in bushels, and they go with Paxton today, who's been pitching awful. And Sabathia got clubbed the other night against Minnesota. So this could get the Red Sox back in the race if they sweep. They have to sweep, and we'll see what happens. The Yankee bats aren't going to stay silent all weekend.
All right, Mike. You're not going to be silent all weekend. We'll speak to you on Monday.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Right. Take care. Mike Gozzi with a check on sports this morning here on the Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.